Well, good morning. It has been a wonderful morning of worship already. Thank you for gathering with us here at White Plains this Easter morning. Thank you, Brett and worship team, for leading us in such a wonderful Easter worship. Welcome to White Plains. Happy Easter. My name is Gary, and I joyfully serve as senior pastor here. And if you're new to White Plains, I want to say a special welcome to you. Thank you for being our guest today. I want you to know that you are an answer to prayer. I've been praying for you this week. I've been praying for your families, and I just want to say thank you for joining us today, and I hope that you find our church to be a warm and welcoming group of people. I also want to say pardon our mess. We don't usually keep big red dumpsters outside next to our entrance, but we are going through a rather large remodel project of we're remodeling all the upstairs in this building to create some new, larger, dedicated ministry spaces for our kids and family, our kids and students, and I am excited, and we're looking forward to when we can move up there with our kids and our students and seeing what God will do for our kids, students, and families. Kids, it's good to see you all. I saw some of y'all here yesterday, but y'all were foamy. Who all was here yesterday? A lot of foamy kids. Are y'all dried out by now? Good. We had a great time with our foam Easter egg hunt. It was fun. I heard lots of laughter. I heard lots of smiles. There was lots of mud on people after it was all over with. But kids, I want to let you know something else that we're getting ready to start here in a few weeks. I know that there's still several weeks before school is over and before summer begins, but I want you to remind your parents on Friday, May 26th, we're going to start a family movie night. We're going to have a few of these over the summer, one each month. And so on Friday, May 26th, we're going to have an outdoor movie on the other side of the playground. We've got a big inflatable movie screen we're going to put out there. We're going to have inflatables for our littler ones. We've got the playground. We've got basketball. It's going to be a fun time out there in our backyard. As a church, I want you to come and invite your friends. We're going to be watching the movie Ralph Breaks the Internet. Now, I've seen this movie before, but I've not seen it outside, so I'm excited. So I want you to come and enjoy that. We'll have popcorn. We'll have cotton candy. It'll be fun. And then in June, we're going to watch Ferdinand. And then in July, we're going to watch the Lego Batman movie. So lots of fun movies outside here at White Plains. Before I let you guys go, I want you to know also, as we end church this morning, kids will have an Easter egg hunt over this way outside. So don't run off. Make sure you stick around. We've got bags in case you forgot your basket and things. We want to keep enjoying Easter this morning together. So thank you for joining us, kids. Happy Easter. You guys are dismissed to go to the lobby. And then CJ will take you on over to Kids Church. Parents and grandparents, you can pick up your kids and grandkids after our service is over in the chapel, just inside the back door. That building will be locked and secured as soon as they get over there. As they're leaving, I would like to ask you to do me a tremendous favor. If you get your bulletin, there is the 2023 annual churchwide survey. If you would do me a tremendous favor and fill this out over the next couple of minutes, there's four questions on this survey. And this information that you give us will be tremendously helpful as we consider the best ways to reach our community. If this is your first time here, or if you've been here for just a little bit, I still would very much value what you think, and your opinion would matter. So if you wouldn't mind, just fill that out. We'll collect them here later on this morning. And as you're filling out those surveys this morning, I hope you understand that Easter is a big celebration. It is huge for the church. It's probably the biggest celebration the church has all year. That's why we have cotton candy this morning. That's why we had a foam Easter egg hunt yesterday. We want to celebrate this morning. We're celebrating the resurrection of Jesus. Friday, several of us gathered in this room and we remembered Good Friday, the day that Jesus died. Some of our teenagers shared the story from the Gospel of Luke about his death. We shared a somber communion together, remembering Jesus' sacrifice. This morning, it seems like 2 weeks ago already, but this morning we had a beautiful and chilly sunrise service just outside these doors, and we worshiped God as the sun rose, like the women who went to the tomb early. When they went, they found the tomb empty. Now this morning, we're joining with countless other Christians and countless other churches all around the world in celebrating that empty tomb. Now, if we didn't have that empty tomb, we probably wouldn't be here today. The church would not exist. We would not have lasted. The Christian faith would have died with Jesus on that cross. But we do have that empty tomb, don't we? Where Jesus proved that he was everything that he said he was. He proved to us that he was who he says he was. And last week we celebrated his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. We saw that Jesus knew he was the king as he rode in on a donkey into Jerusalem, symbolizing a king coming in peace. And that's who Jesus is. He's a king coming in peace. Today I want to answer the question, as we gathered this morning, why Easter? Why do we celebrate this season? Why is Easter such a big deal for the church? Before we read Luke this morning, and we learn and we read about the resurrection, I want us to take us back a little bit. Actually, I want to take us back a lot bit. I want us to go back to the very beginning. So if you have a Bible, would you open up to Genesis chapter 1? We're going to go all the way back to the very beginning. And for us to really appreciate Easter, we have to understand the very beginning. We need to go back to how everything started. Now, as you're flipping over to Genesis, I want you to know that the three most followed religions in the world hold to what we're about to read. The three largest religions in this world believe what we're about to read. They hold it as truth. The Muslims, the Jews, and the Christians all accept what we're going to read as truthful on how the universe was created. Now that's 4.5 billion people, which is over half of the population of the world. To put it another way, the majority of the world believes what we're about to read as the truthful account of how everything got started. So let's look at Genesis chapter 1. We'll look at verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Let's just stop there at that one sentence. It's a short passage, the very beginning. It says a lot. Let's stop and pray in response to what we just read. God, thank you for your word to us this morning. Thank you for being God. Thank you for your creative effort in bringing about the heavens and the earth. I don't know how to properly say this in the English language, but before time began, you were there. You were at the beginning. You were before the beginning. You were God, and you created us. You created the heavens and the earth, and we thank you for that. We thank you for this season that brings us here together. We thank you for Easter, for Jesus, his death, and thank you for his resurrection. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So in Genesis 1, the rest of this chapter, we have the orderly account of the creation of everything. God speaks things into existence. When you read through Genesis 1, you read about God saying things and things being created. That is how God creates. He creates by speaking. Now, we can't get into all the details of when and what was created because it's Easter, and we have to get to the resurrection. But it's important for us to understand how everything got started. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth by speaking them into existence. Over half the earth knows this and accepts this as fact. Now, some say this happened 6,000 to 8,000 years ago. Others will say it happened millions, perhaps billions of years ago. Either way, most of the world gives God credit for creating everything. Now, to say that God created the heavens, what does that mean? When you look toward the heavens, where do you look? You look up, don't you? We look beyond Earth's atmosphere, and whatever's after that is the heavens. The telescope is less than 500 years old. It's older than all of us for sure, but it's relatively young. Our understanding of the heavens is still relatively young, but it's growing. I want to show you a picture of space. Here are the heavens that God spoke into existence in Genesis chapter 1. This is from Earth's perspective. What you have in this picture, there's two telescopes. I don't know how they do this, but there's two telescopes on Earth looking up and taking pictures of the night sky. And what you have here on this image, it's from Time Magazine's website, and it's about a billion light years in length, which means if you were going from one side of the photo to the other side of the photo, and if you could travel at the speed of light, it would take you a billion years to get across this photo. Now, those dots on the photo, they're not stars. There's about 50,000 of those dots on this image, and those dots are galaxies. Now, a galaxy can have anywhere between 100 million and a few billion stars in each galaxy. There's 50,000 galaxies in that image. Again, this is about a billion light years in length. What we know as the visible or known universe is about 46 billion light years in length. So this is a small percentage of what we know as the universe. I would guess, because our understanding of space is still relatively young, there might be universe beyond what we know. There may be stars beyond what we could see, because this is what we could see, or this is part of what we could see. As we read through Genesis 1, when God said he created the heavens, this is what we're talking about. God created all these billions of light years of galaxies. God spoke all of this into existence. Can you imagine the power one must have to simply speak that into existence? In Genesis 1, it says that God created the earth. As we look at that image, you can't see Earth. There's 50,000 galaxies on there. We're not able to see Earth. But if we're able to zoom in on just our galaxy, the Milky Way, we wouldn't be able to see Earth either. If we were able to zoom into our solar system, we probably wouldn't be able to see Earth. Compared to the heavens, the Earth is very small. But it's where we live. It's our home. It feels large because it's bigger than us. The Bible says that God created the earth. Now, did you know that even on our small earth, small compared to the heavens, that we're still discovering new stuff, new places, new areas, new creatures? We're still discovering things that God created, not only in the heavens, but here on earth as well. Listen to this from Genesis 2. It'll be up on your screen. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created. In the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, when no bush of the field was yet in the land, and no small plant of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the land, and there was no man to work the ground, and a mist was going up from the land and was watering the whole face of the ground. Then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living creature. In Genesis 1, we go from a picture of God creating everything by speaking we zoom in on the creation account of man here in Genesis 2. We see here that in the vastness of God's creation, as he was speaking things into existence, God decided to kneel down, gather some dust, gather some dirt, and he formed man. I get this picture, this image of God kneeling, getting his hands dirty, and forming man. He created us different than he created everything else. He spoke the universe into existence. He spoke the trees and the other animals, and he spoke rocks into existence by speaking them. He formed man with his hands. He gathered dirt and mud and made man. From the very beginning of creation, I want you to see that you are special. You are special. You are specially made. The Bible tells us that God made us differently. He formed us when he spoke everything else into existence. Listen to how God made woman in Genesis 2. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and while he slept, took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. I wonder, why would God go through so much trouble in creating man and woman when he could speak the universe into existence? Why would he form man with dirt, with dirty hands? Why would he remove a rib and form a woman when he spoke billions and billions and billions of stars into existence? Why would he do that? Because you're special. You are specially made. Do you understand and believe that you are special this morning? Even in Genesis 1, in that orderly creation account of all things, it is written, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, over the livestock and over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.' So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them." You are special. You are created differently than he made everything else. Not only are you special, Genesis 1:26 says, "You are made in God's image." This is also unlike all other creation. You are made in God's image. As I look out over you, I see people who are made in the very image of God. The next time you look in a mirror, whether it's on the way home this morning, you're looking in the rear view, or when you get home and there's a mirror in front of you, the next time you look in the mirror, I want you to see who the Bible says you are. You are created special in the image of God. You are special, and you are made in the very image of God. Let me show you another image of Earth. If you could zoom in on our solar system and land on the moon, this is what the Earth would look like. God spoke that into existence, that earth. When I see a picture like this, I'm reminded of Psalm 92:5. It says, "How great are your works, O Lord! Your thoughts are very deep." If you look at that image of the earth from the moon, that's what the moon looks at all the time, is that image of Earth. Could you make that? Even on your best day, could you create that beautiful blue marble? Now, there's lots of smart and talented people here. If we gathered all the smart and talented people in all the earth, could we make that? No. But from the moon, you can look at the earth, and if you look really, really hard, you still can't see people yet. You can't see yourself. But you are on that earth. You're living, you're breathing, living life somewhere on that beautiful blue marble where God created you special and in His image. You are there. You just can't see you from the moon. So let's get a little bit closer. Now here's a picture of the earth from 1972. Now I realize this is the wrong side of the earth, and some of y'all weren't born in 1972. But if I was able to flip this earth around, you still couldn't see yourself because you can't see any people on this side of the earth. So let's get a little bit closer. This is a Google Earth image. And if you're looking at this, I'm sure some of y'all know what this is. If you're looking at it, can you figure out what we're looking at? In the upper left-hand corner, that is Bowling Green. In the upper right-hand corner, that's Glasgow. And if I get out of the way, under this blue little dot in the middle there, that's us. That's Scottsville. That's where we are. As I look at that image, as you look at that image, I still can't see us, but I know that we're there, right? You know that we're underneath that blue little dot all together because that's where we're at. God spoke all of this into existence. He created a special and in the image of God. And, you know, as we've zoomed into this image, you can see life starting to pop up, can't you? You can see cities. You can see roads. I see Barren River Lake. That was man-made, right? You can see a little bit of maybe farmland. You can start to see life here. And as we see life, we realize that life is difficult. It takes work to make roads and build cities and do farm stuff. It's work. And you might see the images of earth that I have showed you, and instead of seeing God's beautiful creation that He spoke into existence, you have felt the weight of that world that you carry on your shoulders often. It can be overwhelming to carry the weight of the world on your shoulders, but many times we feel like we have that, whether we're having issues with health or family or jobs. Life happens and it can be overwhelming. The burden is real. And the burden of life is a result of something that happens in Genesis chapter 3. Look with me at Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened. Now this is Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, somewhat soon after they were just formed and created. Here in this passage, they disobey God. God had told them not to eat of this one tree, and that's the tree they ate from. This is disobedience. And disobedience like this and other types of things we call sin. You are broken by sin. You are broken by their sin, and you're broken by your own sin. We're all broken by sin. Sin is why there's so much pain in the world. Sin is why it's so much difficult to build cities and cut roads into the land and do farm work. Sin breaks us. Our relationship with God is broken. Our relationship with each other, much of those relationships are harmed because of sin. There's all types of sin. We all are tempted in different ways to disobey God. Listen to this from Psalm 14. The fool says, in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They do abominable deeds. There is none who does good. The Lord looks down from heaven on the children of man to see if there are any who understand, who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. Together they have become corrupt. There is none who does good, not even one. Sin corrupts us all. Some are corrupted to look at those beautiful images of God's creation and say, there is no God. To look at the universe, those pictures of space, to look at that beautiful blue marble and say, nope, God didn't make that. Psalm 14 says that they're foolish in those statements. But it's not just them. Sin affects us all. God looks down at us from the heavens and sees that we're all in some type of disobedience to Him in one way or another. That's why, pretty quickly, after Adam and Eve ate the fruit, God acted. God stepped in and He says in Genesis 3:15 this, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Just 9 verses after the first account of sin in the Bible, God promises to fix what sin breaks. In this short verse, God tells us that Satan, who deceived Adam and Eve, will continue to interact with humanity. Satan will continue to interact with you and me. God says to Satan, you shall bruise his heel. He will bother us. Satan is actively seeking to lead us to continue in our disobedience. It will be that way until we leave the earth. Satan will be after us. But God also says to Eve that there will be one after her that will bruise Satan's head. He will ultimately defeat sin and death. Let me show you a helpful chart of where I'm headed this morning. This is the storyline of the Bible. This chart tells you what the Bible is all about. This is what I'm walking us through this morning, and we will get to Easter and the resurrection soon, I promise. We spent a lot of time this morning, though, talking about God's creation, because this is something many people struggle with. We struggle with understanding our worth. Many of us struggle in understanding our value. So that's why we spent so much time talking about humanity being created special in God's image. We just discussed the brokenness that sin causes. And right now we're looking at the restoration promised idea of the Bible. It begins to show itself in the 3rd chapter of Genesis. And so what I want you to understand this morning is that Easter was always part of God's plan. This wasn't God reacting. This is God acting. Easter was always part of God's plan. And the resurrection that we celebrate this morning was on God's mind from the very beginning. It continues throughout the whole Old Testament. God promises to make things right. God promises to make things right. And for the sake of time, I won't go through all the different ways that God promises to individuals and to groups of people that He will make things right. But God sees the problem of sin, the problem that it causes, and He promises to make it right. Now, God could have jumped in right into chapter 3 of Genesis and made Easter happen. He could have brought Jesus right in Genesis 3, but He didn't. In God's wisdom, He decided to patiently and lovingly give us the Old Testament, showing us what God expects of us and how even on our best days, we can't live up to His expectations. Those promises that God made in the Old Testament, those promises come with expectations. God says, I will do this and you must do that. That's a lot of what's in the Old Testament. And I find it interesting that God does it this way, because God knows that we can't keep our end of the promise, not without help. God knows we need help. Much of the Old Testament is showing us that it's normal for us to need help. God knows that we need help. We need God in our lives today. We need God in our lives this morning as much as we needed God to create everything at the very beginning. So we skipped over a lot of pages in the Old Testament. We were going to skip over a lot of pages in the Bible. Just know, in those pages that we skip over, we're seeing the effects of sin and the helplessness of people in trying to keep up with God's expectations. That's basically what's in the Old Testament, is that storyline. Then we get to the New Testament. We get to Christmas. We get to God with us, Jesus being born, Emmanuel. Now, Jesus is special because he is fully God and fully human. This helps answer why God made us differently, because he was going to become one of us. God created everything else by speaking to it, or speaking it into existence. But God knew this was going to happen. God knew Easter needed to happen before he made the first man. And he knew that he had to come and become man. So he made us differently. He formed us. Jesus spends 3 years teaching and healing and performing miracles. Jesus brings a message of restoration. But because sin is running around, the religious people don't like what he has to say. They don't like Jesus. They don't like what he's teaching, and they want to silence Jesus. And they get their way. They silence Jesus at least for 3 short days. But it's also God's intention for this to happen, because God knew all the way back in the beginning that this death of Jesus is what was needed. So many of the promises in the Old Testament demanded sacrifices. The people of Jesus' day were practicing sacrifices. They knew about sacrifices. The problem with sacrifices, though, is none of them would last. But as those religious people, in their hatred of Jesus, captured, put on trial, convicted, and crucified him, they killed Jesus. God was aware of all this. It wasn't a surprise, because in this death, in the death of Jesus, there would be a permanent fix to our brokenness. The death of Jesus would be the final payment that God demanded from creation to make things right. Jesus restores you to God. Jesus restores you to God. Jesus died for you. Jesus died to make you right with God, because your sin broke you apart and away from God. Here is what we read about in Luke concerning the death of Jesus. This is Luke 23, 44 through 47. It was now about the 6th hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the 9th hour. While the sun's light failed and the curtain of the temple was torn in two, then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And having said this, he breathed his last. Now, when the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God, saying, "Certainly, this man was innocent." That Roman guard said it the best. Surely, certainly, that man was innocent. Jesus didn't deserve to die. He lived a life in full obedience to what God expected. You and I, we deserve to die because of our sin. But Jesus willingly went to the cross on our behalf, because he was there when everything got started. He was there when God formed man and woman. He was there when sin showed up. He was there when the promises were made by God to man, the promises that man could not keep, but God is faithful. He keeps his promises. Jesus was there. He knew. Let's continue in Luke 24. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise." Jesus willingly went to that cross because he knew that was what was needed to bring creation back to God. Jesus willingly went to that cross because he knew that was what was needed to bring you back to God. Jesus went to that cross because even though we couldn't keep our side of the promise, God keeps his promises. Life is hard. Life is marred by sin, and we all struggle through it. But with Jesus, we have hope. With Jesus, we have peace. Even in the chaos, we have peace. Now, God doesn't promise to take away our pain and troubles, but he does promise to be with you through them. God keeps his promises to us. God promises to be with you as you go through life's pain and problems. Listen to this from Isaiah. Isaiah 41:10 says this, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Now, there may be some things that are staring you right in the face. Hard things that are staring you in the face right now. There may be some tough times ahead. Trust in Jesus, and he will be with you. You have nothing to fear. God promises to strengthen you, to help you, and to hold you up. I'll invite the worship team to come back up. How do you respond to Jesus this Easter? Will you trust him? Will you follow him? Will you be baptized like he was to show the world that you're following him? God may not take away the struggles in front of you. He may not take away the pain, but he promises if you're following him, he will be with you. He will strengthen you. And he'll help you through it. Can you imagine the help that God can be? Because he's the same God who spoke the universe into existence. That same power that created the universe is the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. And it's that same power that says he will be with you through life's pain and troubles. Will you trust Jesus with all of that? Trust him. Follow him. Would you stand as we pray? God, we thank you for the resurrection. We thank you for the power that you displayed in raising Jesus from the dead. Lord, I pray for those in this room who are looking at some tough times in front of them. They're looking through pain, looking at troubles. Lord, I pray that they would turn to you, that they would seek the power that can create a universe, that same power can go with them and help them and strengthen them and uphold them. You keep your promises. Help us to trust that this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.